Thanks for being here. So my name is Sara Fdili Alaoui. I'm a professor at University Paris Sud down in Orsay, and I will talk to you about applying Laban movement analysis to craft movement in digital art and human-computer interaction. First, the big picture of my work is really to bridge the machine with the human being and integrate different aspects that are expressive into designing interactive systems such as emotions, experience, but mostly expressivity. So I talk about partnership with technology in dance, and the context of my studies are embodied cognition and the idea of the supremacy of movement in our cognitive process. So I talk about crafting movement in interaction because I believe that it enhances and fosters our engagement and bodily engagement expressively with the machines that we interact with. And the methodology that I use is mostly an ethnographic study if I'm collaborating with a choreographer or a dancer. I'm myself a certified Laban movement analyst. So a lot of the work I do is about articulating my own experience and my own knowledge of movement in building that kind of technology or that kind of partnership. So I'm going to be talking about a quite old work that I did during my PhD in IRCAM and LIMSI about analyzing dance movement qualities using machine learning. And representing those movement qualities in interaction. I'll really skim through this work very quickly. If you have questions about it, just ask it. And then I'll go to the Laban work. So I guess in this crowd, I don't have to really define what movement qualities is or are. They're distinctly observable attributes or characteristics produced by dynamic and made manifest in movement. And the problem was how to formalize them, model them, conceive interaction techniques with them, and evaluate those. So a collaboration that I did that you might have heard of was called Double Skin, Double Mind, was with the Emilio Greco PC Dance Company. And the idea was to look at the four main components of his work, breathing, jumping, expanding, reducing, and trying to model that with a computational system and represent those qualities in a way that can be perceivable by a dancer wanting to learn them or to embody them. So a lot of mathematics behind these models, where we extract a silhouette, we define different features, we learn those kind of qualities to a machine, and then mostly we did a lot of work in representing those qualities with abstract physical models that we would regenerate the essence of what those qualities represent and give a graphical feedback of those to a dancer. If you are interested in how and why, there are two papers about this work that have been published. And this work has been extended a little further, where we really wanted to extract even more the essence of those qualities through physical models. And we thought of the breathing as a first dynamic physical model, and then the jumping as something that would be an oscillatory model with a little bit of reduction at the end that would stop the movement at some point, while the reducing would be a continuous movement that sustains in time. And so we approximated these qualities with a second order particle systems, and then created an installation where people could come in, try to re-embody those movement qualities with their hands, and then see the behavior of the light responding to those movement qualities according to what state of the physical model they're in.
Sorry, can I just ask clarification? Are those extracted components? PCI components, or are they?
No, these are basically the behaviors of a dot that would represent the hand, and the hand's movement is approximated with three states of a physical model.
So
very
simple. A theory-driven model.
Right.
Three. Okay, thank you.
Exactly. And then we run a particle filter system in which we try to see in what state is the hand, depending on what the user is doing in real time. And according to that, we would map that into a light behavior that would respond in real time to users or participants' movement. So the breathing is an oscillatory without damping state, and so the light would be doing some kind of a breath behavior, whereas the expanding would be that same second order physical model that would be oscillatory with damping. And the third is that continuous damped behavior. So this is just to give you an idea of the kind of stuff I developed during my PhD and the experimental results that allowed us to say that physical models can actually generate movement qualities, and the abstraction doesn't actually affect our perception of those movement qualities, and that we can create interaction with users that are engaging and expressive through integrating movement qualities and interaction. Then I went to Vancouver to the Simon Fraser University at the School of Interactive Arts and Technology and worked with someone called Tekla Shiphorst, who is also a certified Laban movement analyst, on the Laban framework and how that can be integrated in our thinking about technology and in general in digital art and HCI. So the same idea, how can we enhance engagement and expressivity in our interaction. This time, instead of looking at specific formalism in which we collaborate with the specific choreographers, we're looking at the Laban framework as a general framework that represents the body, what is moving, effort, how it is moving, space, where is it moving, and shape in relationship to what it is moving. So we have these four main components of the Laban movement analysis theory that really articulate what we can observe and how we can observe it. Before I show this video, we did a lot of work on effort, and by looking at effort, we first started to look at something called the basic effort actions, which combine the effort of weight, time, and space, and discard the effort of flow. The reason why we started looking at these efforts and trying to model them mathematically is that they are really observable easily in everyday life, and they don't relate necessarily to dance. They are gestures that can be observed, and that Laban actually observed in factories, workers. They could be observed in pushing, pulling, tapping, whatever. And so they exist extensively. And therefore, they're really useful to look at. So here is a sequence that we recorded with Karen Studd from the Laban Institute of Movement Studies, where she's performing the eight basic effort actions in space in the cubical scale, if you know a little bit of the Laban kinesphere. She's also vocalizing.
Karen, the eight one action.
Hmm.
pretty expressive. So what we've done here is a little bit of the same approach. We've done a study with the CMAs, trying to see how they observe these efforts and what are the cues and kinesthetic and visual cues that they use in order to approximate computational features that would represent these observational techniques. And Kate selected a set of multimodal sensors, features, etc., that we fed to a machine learning algorithm in order to see whether we could characterize them differently. And so very quickly, we can see that there is, with the EMGs that we were selecting for weight, a big difference between a punch and a float, obviously. Good, got it. In terms of recognition, it did a good job, and mostly the interesting part about this work was to say, if you are to look at something as rich as effort, you can't look at it with a limited amount of sensors. Meaning that people that claim that they can actually compute effort by looking at just one accelerometers, they're not actually looking at all the effort factors. Multimodality in that sense is really key and critical, just as much as the CMAs observe these efforts with multisensory information. So you have to take a look at your muscle activation, acceleration, deceleration, you have to look at the opening of the chest, you have to look at the gaze, all of these things actually contribute to building in information that can be discriminated later. So again, we really like to make stuff out of these algorithms. So this is a little workshop we did in Vancouver about sonification of these efforts, where we use the vocalization to synthesize a sonic feedback. So the dancer has some mayos on and some accelerometers and stuff like that. And while she's dancing, she's triggering the vocalization of current stud in real time through the interactive system. Okay, this is the underlying model. So another aspect that I'd like to talk about, another aspect that I'd like to talk about, and I think it's particularly relevant here, is that once we started to dig into how experts observe movements and ourselves, observing movement on dance making, practice, etc., it started to be really interesting and stuff that we don't necessarily talk about, at least in interactive systems design. We did a lot of interviewing, some interviewing with the design practitioners, some interviews with certified lab and movement analysts, and we were really interested about the technique that allowed them to observe movement, as well as the conditions in which they observe and what are they picking up to. So these are three techniques that are really interesting and important in somehow preparing for observation of movement. First of all is how you train your attention into grasping different aspects of movement. Second of all is l'écoute or attunement, the way in which you can attune through your own sensations and your own body into grasping or allowing information to come into you. And kinesthetic empathy, meaning that you use your own self in observing others. Most of the time the information is not necessarily only visual, and it would be really nice if it was only, but it's kinesthetic most of the time, especially with effort and shape. So it requires people, or it requires observers to either try to imitate it, try to feel it, or really acknowledge how their sensation in their own body give them that information or give them access into that information. In addition to this observation study with designers, we did another study with CMAs where we put 15 certified Laban movement analysts into a room and gave them a bunch of stimuli, mostly the same movement of knocking done with different qualities in different spatial organizations, etc. And we asked them to observe in group. Something that you need to know in Laban's observation is that it's most of the time seeking for consensus, meaning that it is at the same time somehow agreed upon, but somehow it demands a bit of subjectivity and to acknowledge that subjectivity. So it's in this in-between where you can't say it's completely reliable as language is, but it's not completely subjective neither. It acknowledges empathy, attunement, the self, but it also seeks for coming into consensus and finding the language to characterize movement. Therefore, CMAs observe in group and seek for consensus for that. So we've written a paper about how they do that and the way in which they come into that agreement and how they negotiate with each other, how they imitate the movement to show it to each other, etc. And I can pass it on if you are interested as well. I think that's it. Am I on?